Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
And you're very welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And it's good to be back with you. I'd like to thank Paul Carroll for minding the fort last Friday night and congratulate Paul on his promotion to sports editor of Tip FM. And we look forward to what Paul brings to the, I suppose, to the role over the next weeks and months. And on tonight's show, we'll begin by building up to our live game this Saturday evening on Tip FM. That is the Munster Senior Football Championship semi-final between Tipperary and Limerick, which will be live here on Tip FM from 7 o'clock from FPD Simple Stadium. Ronan Quirk and Shane Stapleton will be bringing you the action in association with Casey Tiles and Wooden Floors in Care. We'll have Paul Fitzgerald along to chat about that game momentarily. We'll reflect on Tipperary's Munster Minor Hurling final win over Clare last Wednesday evening by hearing from manager James Woodlock and comment from former All-Ireland minor winning captain William Maher, as well as looking ahead to some of the other big hurling championship games this weekend. Of course, minus Tipperary, who are sitting this weekend out. We'll be talking about the future of Tipperary Racecourse with manager Andrew Hogan later on the show, and the proposed all-weather track development there. And as ever, we'll wrap up by talking dogs with Barry Drake. So all that and more over the next hour or so. And we'll begin by talking Gaelic football, where tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at FPD Semple Stadium, Tipperary take on Limerick in the Munster Senior Football semi-final. For Tipperary, there's a two-fold target in terms of winning this game. One is to get to a third Munster final in 7 years, and the second is playing for the right to be in the Sam Maguire Cup through the All-Ireland qualifiers. But they'll have it all to do to beat the Limerick side that are improving year on year and took out a fancy Clare side in Ennis in the quarter-finals. To look ahead to the game, I'm joined by former Tipperary goalkeeper and coach Paul Fisher. Paul, you're welcome to the show.
How's it going, Shane?
Good to have you along again, Paul. I suppose, Paul, first of all, I suppose we're ahead of the team announcement tonight. I suppose from a Tipperary point of view, all eyes will be on who's going to be available. I suppose there is a worrying injury list. Robbie Kiley, Kevin Fahey, Mark Russell. I suppose, unfortunately, Bill Maher ruled out with a hamstring. It was no surprise, I suppose, by the nature of that injury against Waterford. So I say for Tipperary to be really confident of it winning on tomorrow evening, we really could do with some of those injured guys being past fit.
Yeah, hopefully they will. The game might be coming through soon for them. As you said, Bill probably already out. From what I hear, not looking good about Robbie and Kevin either. So, you know, those three alone will be huge losses. Hopefully the news on Mark Russell will be good, that he'll be back in. And again, obviously, Stephen is back available too. And we might get a bit more out of him as well. Like, you know, he only played a half, made a massive impact coming off the bench in Waterford. So, yeah, so look, like you said, it'll be interesting to see when the team is announced who we don't have, rather than, you know, who'll be taking their places.
As I say, you need, I suppose, like any championship game, you need to be as close to full strength as possible, particularly for this Limerick team. They're very experienced, I suppose it's something I remarked in 2020 when Tip narrowly got through that Munster semi-final. Like they're a lot like their hurlers. They're physically very, very imposing. I think that's something Billy Lee and the development system in Limerick, they've accepted. Maybe they won't have the talent level of other counties, but in other areas, maybe in terms of strength and game plan, they're going to be as good, if not better, than most counties.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said it a few weeks ago, we got caught rotten in 2019, was it, in Thurles, when you know, they came. They're even back in, I remember, in when they were challenging Cork and Kerry for that Munster side. Very unlucky under our former manager Liam Kearns not to win a Munster final. They didn't fear Cork and Kerry even back then either, and they certainly wouldn't fear us. So, like I said, they've got a bit of momentum now, and Billy Lee has done a massive job there, where he's a huge football man in Limerick, and he could have just as easily walked away when things weren't going well, you know, back 16 17 18, in those years, and he stuck at it, and now has them in Division 2. They're, like I said, they're physical. They play for Billy. There's a lot of that in it. They're a united bunch, and as you said, and at half time in that 2020 Munster final, like, they had us beaten. They had us beaten, and the likes of Fox and Sweeney and Austin off the bench that day, like, you know, dragged us through that game in the semi final, and we went on to win it. So you know, they, like I said, they certainly won't be fearing coming to Thurles. They'll be looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I suppose, look, I suppose if we're, as we're, Bill Maher's out, and but, you're thinking that Kevin and Robbie Kiley won't make it either. Like, you're, like, that's particularly around that half back line area where I suppose it's really the platform for every team. And like, if we've known the physicality of Limerick, if they get through that first barrier, and we saw it against Clare with the nature of some of the goals they got, guys coming from deep and off the shoulder, that's going to put a lot of pressure on our full back line.
Yeah, obviously, you know, they're hugely important positions to the way we play, where our two wing backs, Kevin and Robbie, and then Bill playing that role where he filters back and runs, you know, up and down that field like a train. But you know, if lads will have to come in and take those saves if need be. Interestingly enough, as you said, against Clare, Limerick, Clare conceded most of their kickouts, if not all of them, in the first half, which I thought was strange. Was Clare being an established Division 2 team and playing at home, and really wanting to get to that Munster final, which they've missed out on over the last few years. It's strange that they conceded kickouts. Funnily enough, it's an area where I think we may have an edge on Limerick if we really, really press Donal O'Sullivan's kickout and force them long. You know, the likes of Stephen, Mark Russell, Teddy O'Brien, Jack Kennedy coming out of that middle third, Conal Kennedy. We have certainly the physicality to match them and maybe the pace to hurt them.
Yeah, and I think it's something we saw against Waterford, particularly in that maybe second quarter, where probably Tip really put the foot down, like they forced Waterford to go along with those kickouts and they mopped them up.
Yeah, absolutely. And we went through a little rocky patch. Maybe obviously the start of the first half and start of the second half was something management wouldn't have been happy with. But other than that, we controlled it. Slight little rocky patch on our own kickout. We went long three times in a row. I could see, you know, things weren't working. We just changed it up a bit. Mikey got a lovely short one out to Stephen out in the wing on the run. So like I said, a balance on our own kick out, vary it as much as we can, and really go after that Limerick kick out where we can put them under pressure in their own half back line and get early ball into. We saw even on limited possession, Connor and Sean O'Connor and Mikey O'Shea will show and will win possession, and then it's about getting up to support them or the boys getting shots off.
Yeah, was there anything you saw in the performance against Waterford that you think, okay, I can see that there's something they're trying to work here? There was definitely an element of just getting through the game, I thought, against Waterford. They were always comfortable without having to maybe go into fourth or fifth gear.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Like I said, apart from a shaky start to both halves, possibly a bit of, I felt like even Mikey O'Shea, you know, his first championship start was a little bit jittery. Our handling, our hand passing was a little bit off. But look, they've that game under their belt now. And even though, you know, we had an easier time of it than Limerick had against Clare, you know, they went to extra time and penalties, obviously. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how both teams come out of that. And, you know, I think against Waterford, we definitely had worked on our kickouts again, and about the fact that Sean O'Connor was back with Connor is a huge, huge plus, because at times, as I've said before, Connor's double teamed, he's very closely marked as a sweeper in front of him. I thought Sean was really, really good, done really well with the possession he got, was out in front of his man, and is physically strong enough to take on a man. And we'll need more of that on tomorrow night.
Yeah, and I think that I think Mikey O'Shea is a super file for those too. Like, but see, I think I think a lot of counties won't probably know an awful lot about him, and then he'll suddenly finish with 3 or 4 points and play that sort of number 11 role where Connor and Sean will probably hang inside, but Mikey's very, very good at coming short, and if the ball does go in long, he's very good to read the play and maybe come off the shoulder.
Yeah, he is a good variety to his game. Like, he can, as you said, he can drift out to the half forward line, come out, win ball, take his man on, win freeze, and also if he needs to rotate with the boys at times as well, he can win possession inside and kick his own score. The role of Teddy O'Brien is important in that sense, where that workmanlike engine he has is important as well, just to make that little bit of space for the boys at times and win that dirty ball. But all our forwards, in fairness, are showing they can win their own possession, and it's about what we do with it after.
Yeah, and I suppose we saw in that quarter final, like, how good Jack Kennedy is when he's fit and firing, and like what a I suppose his vision to pick out passes is incredible. When he's had a tough 2 years with injuries, it looks like he's back trusting his body again.
Yeah, absolutely. And as you said, he's probably our best kick passer. And that role of the outside shooter in football is so important. Now Limerick get bodies back. There's no doubt about it. If we have slow build up play and we're not getting it in fast enough, when we do win possession around the middle third, they'll get the bodies back. And it might be, the case of that patience then and trying to pick scores off from further out. We have guys that can do that too, so that's good. It'll be interesting to see where Fanning plays for Limerick. He can play anywhere in the full back line. You saw, if he's, like I said, player conceding kickouts, and he scored a goal from, the run started in his own his own full back line and took the goal well. Corbett is obviously very experienced at six. We'll have to watch him. You have the two midfielders, Tracy and Faye, I think. And then up front, obviously, there's pace inside where, if the boys aren't going to make a real injury, our matchups will be important inside with Nash and Huey Burke, and your man is lethal from freeze as well, Josh Ryan. So that's all something for the lads that they've worked on over the last 2 weeks.
And I suppose, from what we saw in the Sunday game, Limerick worked full value for that win, but Clare did butcher two or three very, very good goal chances, and you'd like to think if Sean O'Connor and Connor Sweeney get those chances, that they won't be as kind.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the goal chance. I think it was the end of full time.
Yeah.
When Donal Sullivan saved his foot, that would have sealed the game. Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. We get goal chances in most of our games, and it's important that we take them. And again, tomorrow night could be very, very important. If we do get one or two, we'll have to take them because Limerick can rack up big scores.
Yeah, and I suppose counteracting that, I think we've seen it in the last few times we play Limerick. They do like to dominate the ball, and I think in 2019, in that Munster semi-final, they did seem to have an awful lot of possession, but they tended to go from side to side. But they did look slightly more direct against Clare.
Yeah, and again, they have a balance to their game where they can go direct inside when they win it clean around the middle. And runners from everywhere. Then if they need to play that running game, so maybe seem similar styles to us. Whether we play more defensive than normal, I don't know. I think I might be playing a little bit into their hands, as you said. But it'll be interesting to see because we've got good guys and experience back there. I thought our full backline against Waterford, for instance, was outstanding. Colin O'Shaughnessy outstanding at six. So we still have, the core of a lot of experienced guys there, the likes of Jimmy and Shane O'Connell. Who they pick up will be very important.
Yeah, I think Jimmy Feehan's had a great year. Shane O'Connell's one of the best, man-for-man cornerbacks in the country. And I just thought you could see maybe the development of Michael O'Reilly and his kick-outs. I thought he was very, very quick in getting the ball away. Maybe there was, maybe in the second half, Waterford were able to slow him down a bit. But once he's able to get the ball away, Tip just look an awful lot more assured in what they're doing.
Yeah, and and it's not about like you said, he's very, very fast to get the ball around the tee, and short kick-outs can be available. But there's a good balance to his game. He's taken ownership of the position, and he's worked hard over the last few years and served a fair apprenticeship beforehand. So he's got a lot of experience coming into this game. And like I said, the key players around that middle third. If we're in this game with 20 minutes to go, and we have maybe Stephen, Mark Russell, Jack Kennedy out there, Connell out there, we have every chance.
Yeah, what do you think Tipperary is the most important thing Tip need to do tomorrow night to win the game? What's the area you think is going to be so important?
Well, we need to even though Limerick are playing so-called at a higher level to us, promoted to Division 2. We're still at home. We still need to go take this game to them. And to be honest, the prize is a nice one, a Munster final appearance, and you get to and we're into the Sam Maguire rather than the Charlton Cup. No disrespect to it, but I think this year David and the lads would take a Munster final appearance after promotion, and you'd be after ticking a lot of boxes and targets for the whole year. So play that front foot football. I just think we're better off. Sometimes our best form of defence is attack. If we sit back and be conservative and invite Limerick onto us, it could it could work against us. So we you've seen it all the way through the league. When we start well and play front foot football, we're a much, much better side and we'll be hard to beat at home.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hopefully that is the case. The Tipperary team will be announced tonight. And I suppose there is a bit of, I suppose people would say if Tip weren't successful tomorrow, maybe falling into the Tarleton Cup wouldn't be a bad thing. But there is, I think you're always better off playing against the better teams, against a Kerry and a Munster final, in the experience of playing that and developing for the future. And we see at minor level, the minors going very, very well. And looking at the scoreline of Cork's defeat last night to Kerry, like Tip will really fancy their chances in that minor semi-final next Thursday night at home to Cork.
Yeah, they've been great. I saw the game against Waterford, and John Mack's done really well with his manager team. They've loaded a lot of guys in that minor squad. They've rotated the squad a bit, put up big scores. Some really, really good players in Dahi Hogan, a full forward, lightning pace, really good footballer. Chip off the old blast from his father, Davey. Two really good athletic midfielders in Higgins and O'Keefe. Really, really good lads. Good, solid captain at six. So, like I said, that's momentum now that Tip are going into that game next Thursday night. So, they have every chance. That has to count for something at under-17 level, where, the advantage of playing a few games, it would be great. And like as you said with the lads as well, where, if we go to a Munster final in Killarney, great, and we get a game in the Sam Maguire. If not, it'll probably take a few years for the Tarleton Cup to kind of balance out and see is it working. But for this year, I think the boys will be more than happy to take their place in the Munster final if we get over Saturday night.
Absolutely, and it'll be a big 5 days for Tipperary football. Hopefully we're in two Munster finals by the next Thursday night. Paul, for sure, as ever.
I'm also, Shane, just to wish the minor footballers the best of luck next Thursday night. Hopefully they get a crowd, and hopefully the lads will get a crowd tomorrow night. You see, teams need support, and we have to get behind them. And a great win the other night for our minor hurlers against Clare, and my own cousin and clubmate Jack Quinlan, cornerback, was great. It's 96 since we had anyone on a minor hurling winning team. So, things aren't all doom and gloom, and people need to get behind these teams and support them.
That's for sure. It doesn't take much for the ship to turn around in any direction.
Exactly.
Paul Fitzgerald, thanks for joining us, everyone, across the line.
No problem, Shane.
Paul Fitzgerald there giving his thoughts on tomorrow's Munster semi-final between Tip and Limerick, 7 o'clock here on Tip FM. And as I said, the Tip minors, they now know they'll be playing Cork in the Munster football semi-final next Thursday night, 7:30, in FBD Semple Stadium. Time for our next first break, and we'll be back in part two with hurling. And you're very welcome back to the show. And we stay with GA, and we look back on last Wednesday's dramatic Munster Minor Hurling Final, which Tipperary won on a penalty shootout 3-0 after a 122-25 point draw. Firstly, we'll hear from manager James Woodlock, who revealed he and his team were fully prepared for penalties after a previous experience he had as Drummond Inch manager in 2020.
I suppose I had the experience of it, yeah, with Drum, I'd been manager of Drum 2 years ago. That gave me, something to think about. So when that happened to me that time, I thought about it ever since, if you're coming into a game, I was reflecting something like that. But no, really difficult to enjoy a game like that. You can't, you're playing every ball with them, and you're not happy when things don't go right. When things are right, you're elated, and I thought we had the game won, 4 minutes on the clock, and an extra minute played. But to be fair, if my foot was on the other, I'd like a minute or two to give our team an opportunity, and they went up and they drew the game. But look, isn't some advertisement for minor hurling, and huge character showing the bunch. I know it's easy to say huge character, but there was. Everyone is there to see it tonight. Never say die attitude and a massive desire to do well for Tipperary.
You had to win that game three times, particularly after the red card, the comeback, and the impact the subs made was incredible.
Yeah, 1-3 off the bench, and there was more there,
Jamie had a few wides.
Yeah, had a few wides.
Narrow ones.
And we encourage him, take the shot, go at it. Do you know what I mean? We're attacking team that makes good decisions. That's what we keep saying. So go at it. I can't blame him for that. Loved it to win over and won the game in normal time, but we didn't. Last week, we showed that we've all the horrors. Tip Canaws produced him, and I said that to you as well. And tonight, went down the road of a battle. What I mean? And Tip still stood up. was really proud in signing their Tip jerseys, and you know, had a huge responsibility going out to perform. Tip Hurling needed, Tip County needs a lift, and I'm just delighted that we got through the line. But again, Clare aren't gone anywhere, they're still in the fight. They offered massively to the game that we got tonight for the spectators, you know what I mean. And I'm just delighted we came out the right side. There's way more in us, but we were tested a different way tonight than we were the last
time. Yeah, did Clare spook you a little? Like, they were very compact in defence, like, you're inside, your forwards really got no room out there. Like, they I know in the first 20 minutes they nearly had 12 men behind. Well, when you were on the attack, they were bringing men back, and you had no room to swing your forwards, especially had no room.
No, just couldn't get room. Sure, we couldn't. And the very minute our puck out was gone, I was hit. Their wing forwards were just gone. Their centre forward was gone. They flushed everybody back really quickly behind the ball. And look, what else can you say when a team scores 3:26 in the semi-final? You know, try and cut them down, and they did it. And you know, it weren't a long way away from it. But I thought when it opened up in after sending off in the fourth quarter, you know, I thought we really expressed ourselves there. You know what I mean? And the goal was huge, and we got some magnificent scores after that. And I thought we had the game won. And as you said, we had to pull it back out of fire again. You know, they got the draw, we had to pull it back out of fire in extra time, and then stand over their penalties and hit them. You know, and what better mean? You know, I just brought them around me and said, you know, leaders always win games, you know, find a way to win it, and who wants to hit them, the boys put their hands up to fight and put them up in their order that they wanted to go, and they delivered.
You'll be pals with Paddy McCormick. I know you're a great rivalry with Boris, but like, he was immense, and to stand over that free the last puck of extra time.
That was
courage.
Courage. Yeah.
I suppose Darren McCarthy was the free taker, was
he? Was. Yeah.
Did Paddy take that on himself, or?
Yeah. Well, we had a quick chat, and we're going for Paddy. But again, I got to him. I think he had a decision made for me. You know what I mean? He wanted to hit, but the way he was after hitting a couple, and the way he was catching the ball, he was in the zone and probably needed. And Darren's an excellent free taker. You know, the entire team is brilliant. But when the sending off happened, I thought we really galvanised in, and you know, for Sam around that, he's an excellent player. It's just one of those things that happens, and I thought the response was huge. Yeah. I thought it was huge when the sending off came for us, and just really happy we got over the line.
So finally, you're into an All Ireland semi final. You're probably glad you'll have a bit of a 3 week break, because like that's gonna take guts of a week, I'd say, just to get all the players to get over that, the high of. More emotionally and then physically as well, how draining that was.
Yeah, you know, a huge task on the bodies tonight. But you know, Andrew Welch is our S&C coach, and he's absolutely phenomenal. He has done a huge job, and as you've seen even tonight, all players on both sides, different players going down with cramp. That shows you how taxing the game was. I think we're off now, if I'm right, till around the 18th of June, 5 week break. So it gives plenty of time to refocus, reset. We'll take a break, obviously, we'll take a week off, give the boys time to recharge the batteries, and then we'll go at it and prepare for an All-Ireland semi-final.
You wouldn't rule out a third part of this trilogy in an All-Ireland final, would you?
You wouldn't. No, like, to beat a team once is difficult. To come back and beat them twice is really difficult, you know. But Clare aren't gone anywhere, and, you know, they're going to go through the qualifiers, they're going in with Clare and whoever else from Leinster, and I'm sure they'll have a massive say in this championship yet.
That was Tipperary minor hurling manager James Woodlock speaking with me after the Munster final win over Clare on Wednesday night. And to talk about that game further, I'm joined by former Tipperary All-Ireland winning captain and manager William Maher, who was on co-commentary duty for Tip FM. William, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks a million, Shane. Great to chat to you.
Good to have you along. You have your voice back after that. Like, that was an incredible drama on Wednesday night.
Absolutely unbelievable, Shane. Like, you know, even the, you know, from start to finish, there was an intensity, and there was a just it flowed, and it went over and back. Momentum shifted, as it does, I suppose, with young lads, 16, 17 years of age. But like, Clare went obviously 4 points up in the second half, and Tip showed just unbelievable bottle to come back and bridge that 4 point gap. And the goal by, I think it was Sam Rowan from Mullinahon, absolutely top class, and just end to end, myself and Ron at the end of it were panned out, because it was brilliant.
Absolutely. And like, it was, I suppose, in some ways maybe the red card probably inadvertently got Tip going, because I thought maybe the way Clare set up, and I suppose I wouldn't call it defensive, but they were definitely making sure that our nippy forwards were not going to get time and space on the ball, and that they made sure there was plenty of men back at all times.
Yeah, and even the bit of research I did, I have a friend who's involved with the Galway Miners, and they were just telling me going in as regards what Clare do and how they set up. And yeah, it was, like, Hegarty was obviously very, very deep as a centre-back with a lot of, I suppose, really fast athletic players. But I thought it was very interesting. Tipperary's use of the ball was so good in the first half. I think it was 10-9 at half-time after playing against the Hurricane. And the momentum shifted then, obviously, and yeah, the lads showed unbelievable battle. But I think Tipperary were, in fairness, Tipperary were comfortable as well playing that kind of defensive game as regards. There were plenty of bodies in front of the goal. They didn't, you know, there wasn't too many goal chances for Clare. But yeah, but like again, I think you said it there in the interview before with James Woodlock there, you wouldn't rule out a trilogy because Clare looked like a really good team.
No, and I suppose that's the thing. Like Tip are Munster champions, and it's a great thing to have. But like that 5 week gap now is personally, yeah. I think it's a very long wait. Whereas potentially you could be playing a Galway or maybe a Leash or an Offaly who will have two or three games in the meantime. You'd hope maybe Tip won't. I know this is for down the line. The Tip won't come in yeah. cold.
You'd hope so, like, but and then look, I suppose, look, you know, we all have our opinions on the penalty shootout and that way of deciding it. I thought that the game should have been obviously finished at that stage because the young lads were out on their feet after a period, two periods of extra time, and they gave everything. And I don't know, like, maybe look, they could have had a replay this weekend or something. I know the rules were there and it was very fair from the start, but I don't know. It's a sad way to finish a Munster final, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I think we all understand. Maybe in the old, without the split season, why replays were a no-no. But now that there's a split season and Inter County has its period to itself, you would think that maybe there is scope maybe for replays to come back, because they're not impacting on club fixtures anymore.
No, and like, you know yourself, after what those young lads gave on both sides Wednesday evening below Limerick, like it was just high quality fare, and the emotion of that as well as regards before and after, like it's tough going on young lads. So look, again, just I was actually privileged to be there on our Wednesday night because it was the first minor match I've been at post COVID, and I just thought it was brilliant, and just what a spectacle, and I think Tipperary needed it as a county, and we got it, and those young men delivered.
Yeah, and I suppose full credit to James Woodlock. I suppose he would have had a difficult time last year with the way things panned out and the heavy loss to Waterford, but like to come back and win a Munster championship, and I suppose, as he said himself, like he used the experience of withdrawing in that county quarter final against Burleslea. He knew penalties was in the off, and you could see in the way the three penalties Tip scored, like they were well struck, like the three boys, Adam Daly, Owen Horgan, and Paddy McCormack, I think were the three strikers that like they were very clinical strikes.
Yeah, no, really good. And look, it was I thought it was a polished performance, albeit a draw in the end. But yeah, when I think that kind of preparation is so key as well, and fair play to James Woodlock for, I suppose, using that experience, because, you know, penalties are, it's something you don't even think about, because having run the full time or of extra time, we're kind of going, okay, what happens now? And then we read it and I was kind of going, okay, that's a really, really big one. But I think, like, you know, such steel, such everything, those lads showed it. And like you see that free at the end with Paddy McCormack was you know, absolutely brilliant stuff. After doing everything all match, like he caught balls, he won possession, he scored the free, and then ultimately scored a penalty to put us through. So like, look, absolutely top class to him and everyone else.
Yeah, and I suppose on that victory, and I suppose on the fact that the under 20s, I suppose, impressed even in defeat against Limerick, like I suppose the manner of the performances and the style, and I suppose the new way, I suppose the new modern way of hurling, that these young lads are comfortable with the ball, and that as the years go on, and hopefully in the next couple of years these guys transition into senior level, that would, I suppose, this new modern way at senior hurling, we're going to become more and more comfortable with it.
Definitely, and look, I think a fierce shot in the arm with the under-20s and the minors, and I suppose ultimately only losing by 7 points by Limerick, which is, you know, it probably wasn't a 7 point game, and the seniors were really good. So yeah, look, there's definitely green shoots there, and I think your point on young players learning how to play, I suppose, the newer game now, it will serve us very, very well, because I don't think, you know, we've loads of hurlers in Tip, and we always will. So it's a case of just trying to set it up and try to shape it that we get the best out of our playing resources.
I suppose, just touching back on the senior, I suppose technically Tip are still in the championship. We need a favour from Cork to have something to play for against the Rebels on Sunday week. Do you think Cork will help us out at the weekend against Waterford?
I don't know what the help is out, but I know, just listening to a couple of Liam's comments in Waterford, and he sees this as the biggest game he's played down there, and that's a big statement, having played in All-Ireland as well. So he recognises that Cork are coming to town. Cork are hurt. They're being written off 3 days in a row as regards as, so these lads will bottle it, and they've done it 3 days in a row. So I suppose if there's anything in their group, they're going to try to show what they can do in Welsh Park. And again, the tighter confines of Welsh Park could potentially suit an ambush better. So, look, Watford will be ready. I think Cork will surely show something this week, because they've showed nothing in the league final and the two championship matches today. But I think it'll be a hard one, I suppose, for Cork to do it. But you never know. And that's, I suppose, the nature of the Munster Championship now. You never know really what's going to happen. And I think that'll be, it's a really, really big match. And I think Watford are wary, and they're wary for a reason.
Yeah, but it's like, if Watford don't win, that means they have to go to Clare in the last weekend to win, to stay in the Championship. And like, you don't have to go to Ennis looking for a win to stay in the Championship.
Well, not now. And particularly the way, with Clare playing well in the last two matches and getting two big results against Tip and Clare. Like, this is... Yeah, you don't want to be going down there looking for a result. And I know Liam and Mikey and the management team will know that in Watford, that that's a difficult place to go. So everything is on this weekend. I still think Watford will have too much. I think even the loss, I think Éireann Daly is out now. I think they'll have too much. I genuinely do. But again, look, you never say never, like, you know.
Absolutely. I promise you, if we an interesting observers here in Tipperary on those, particularly that Waterford-Cork game on Sunday in Walsh Park. William Maher, thanks for joining us and Across the Line.
No bother, Shane. Thanks.
William Maher, looking back on this, was a fantastic Munster final win for Tipperary last Wednesday. And as you said, the senior, if Cork beat Waterford on Sunday, technically if Tip came back and beat Cork next weekend, coupled with a Waterford loss to Clare, it would come down to score difference. But Tip's score difference is very, very weak at the moment. But it would be great to have something to play for maybe on Sunday week for that game in Semple Stadium against Cork to wrap the two. What looks like at this stage will wrap up Tipperary's senior championship campaign. Time for another break, and we'll be back in part three with horse racing. And you're very welcome back to the show, and we turn our attention to horse racing, where next Tuesday, the 17th of May, Tipperary Racecourse Horse Racing Ireland and Tobin Construction Engineers will host a public consultation on the planned new all-weather racetrack at Tipperary Racecourse. That public consultation will be from 4 to 7 o'clock at the racetrack itself. Interested members of the public are welcome to explore plans for the new project and to hear more about the current status of the project. I'm joined by Andrew Hogan, who's the Racecourse manager at Tipperary Racecourse. Andrew, you're welcome to the show.
And thanks a million, Shane. Yeah, no, really excited about it now. It's fantastic. I know it's early days, but it's great that we started on the road. And we were delighted to appoint Tobin's as consultants in January, and they're a great team to work with. It's a really exciting project. We're looking at a 6 furlong straight and a 1.3 mile circuit on the all weather. It'll be one of the best tracks in Europe, or if not the world. It's really exciting times for us in Tipperary, and we're very grateful for all the support we're getting behind the project. The whole industry is very excited about it, and definitely locally in Tipperary town, people couldn't do enough for us.
So in terms of the public consultation, like, what are I suppose you're inviting everybody within the locality, it should have a generally positive impact locally, but it's no harm maybe to hear any potential maybe things that need to be ironed out before then.
Yeah, it's really to show anybody locally, and especially all the neighbours who are very supportive of it, and just for them to see the plans before we go to planning, which we hope to do in early summer. So it's really at this early stage now for everybody to see it and get a vision for what it's going to look like.
I suppose, like, at the moment there's just the one all-weather track, and that's in Dundalk, and it sort of developed to sort of a Friday night. It sort of has a Friday night feel over the winter months, and I suppose for any other part of the country to get this racetrack, and like the financial benefits for the locality, of I'm sure that will mean extra race meetings for Tipperary outside of your normal schedule during the summer and into early autumn.
Yeah, we'd hope to get 20 extra meetings, so it'd bring us up to 31 fixtures in the year, which would be huge. Like Tipperary at the moment, we're really a summer track, so from a staffing point of view, it means there'd be a lot more employed. It'd give facilities, like we do a lot of schooling on the grass, but it'd give facilities for smaller trainers and kind of everybody, small and big trainers, like around the area, It'll be a fantastic for them facility for them to use regularly. And like you take like the horse population in Tipperary is huge, and Cork is followed closely to it. So and there's a lot throughout Munster. So like those trainers having to go to and stable staff having to go to Dundalk on a Friday evening. It's a long trip up, so it'd be brilliant to have something on the doorstep and really complement Dundalk as a race course. So we'd have, like in England, there's seven all-weather tracks, so we're limited to one here. So I definitely think it's a huge positive, and we're very lucky to have it in Tipperary.
And you can only think of the potential benefits locally, like if you have maybe more evening meetings, maybe a Saturday night thing, or maybe people afterwards can tip into Tipperary town and things like that. Like it's just think it's a win-win
like
for everybody.
Hotels, accommodation around people staying over, especially, you know, if it's evening meetings, people will want to stay, and it's definitely going to be a huge attraction. You've the railway station right beside us, and the hotel across the road, and plenty of top-class bed and breakfast around Tipperary town. No, it'll have a huge benefit, and I think it'll have a huge benefit too for a lot of trainers around Tipperary, smaller trainers, that it'll give them a chance, like just with energy costs and everything, diesel going to Dundalk, it'll make it an awful lot easier for them to compete in racing, which is a very competitive industry, and it's tough for them. So it'll really have benefits for everyone, and the amount of people that are employed is a knock-on effect and a result of that, and there'll be plenty of people employed directly in the race course as well.
Mm-hmm. Just in terms of the time frame, I know you mentioned earlier that you're hoping to submit planning permission through the summer. So what's the, all things going well, what's the projected timescale for
time,
construction, maybe of opening and so things like
that?
Yeah,
it's probably early days, but like if we're hopefully go for planning in the summer, and then we'd obviously, if he's got, we're successful with planning, then we'd have to go for a tender, obviously, for a project of that size, and then so it could be 12. It'll be a minimum of 12 months before construction starts, and you're probably talking 18 months to 2 years. So, we've started on the journey, but we've a long way to go yet. But it's definitely hugely positive.
Yeah, I know you're a race manager at a Cork race course as well, and I'm sure there's a lot of courses around the country would love to have maybe gotten this, I suppose, the second all-weather track. Like, what would it mean for Tipperary to get this all-weather track?
It's huge. Like it's key. Every track, I think all the tracks give their right arm for this. It really secures Tipperary racecourse into the future. It'll be significant investment into the track, and it really will secure the viability of the race course into the future. And like we have the public consultation at the moment is the track, but like we're keen. We were unsuccessful. It was disappointing with the rural regeneration application in earlier in the year, and for a lot of other community activities. At the moment, we're focusing on the track, but we're definitely open to that in the future. Like, we feel that the race course, it's that everybody should be involved, and we have something for everybody. It's definitely a key asset to Tipperary town, and we'd be delighted for the community and the wider people of Tipperary to use it.
So that consultation, 4 to 7 o'clock, it's in the race course itself next Tuesday.
Yeah, and everybody is welcome.
Okay, Andrew Hogan, race course manager at Tipperary race course, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks a million, Shane.
And it's time for our final break, and we'll be back in part 4 with greyhound racing. And you're welcome back to the final part of Across the Line. And just to wrap up on some other local items this weekend, I suppose, with the local rugby season is now in its off season, with the AIL and Munster Junior Leagues now completed. Local soccer is also winding down. The NTNDL has long since completed, and it was confirmed about 10 days ago that they're returning to winter soccer. So the new season in the NTNDL won't start till August and will run through the winter months in South Tipperary. It's a Tipperary Cup quarterfinals will be the main action. On Saturday, it's Clonmel Town at home to St Michael's in 6:30 in Clonmel. That's a quarter final, and the second quarter final is on second quarter final of the weekend is on Sunday. Peak Villa B home to Kerr Park at 3:00, and then I suppose the big game in the TSNDL, this is the Division One league playoff between Clonmel Celtic and Wilderness Rovers. That's on Sunday at 12:00, and I believe that the winner will be promoted to the Premier Division. And also the Peter O'Reilly Cup final, that game is between Killinall Rovers and Mayglass United. That's at 3:00 on Sunday in Palmer's Hill in Cashel. And just turning back to local rugby, and to pass on my sympathies to Nina Ormond and to the Hayes family and the passing of Keith Hayes. We had Keith Hayes on the show a couple of weeks ago for the Nina Cashel game. Keith, we've heard him many times here on the show, always very, very helpful. And in regard to Nina Ormond, passed away so tragically and suddenly last weekend. And we pass on our sympathies to Nina Ormond and to the Hayes family. I'm turning to Camogie. A couple of three league finals this weekend in Camogie. In the intermediate league final, Borland Duella take on Newport Ballinahinch. That's on Saturday in Kilcommon at 7:00. And on Sunday evening, there's two more league finals. Junior B league final, Cashel Kilcormac against Mike Archie Burris. That's in the RAG GA grounds. It's not the Camogie grounds, the RAG GA grounds at 7:00. And the Junior B2 league final, Airoga and Carty against Shannon Rovers. That's in Drumban at 7:00. And this weekend, starting tonight, a raft games in the final round of group matches in the County Hurling League, from Divisions 1 to 6. A couple of games tonight, Mulnahone against Drummond Inch and Clonulty Rossmore against Turles Sarsfields, that catch the eye. But as I say, a raft of games across the weekend as places in the semi-finals are decided. I had it confirmed earlier on that there is no promotion or relegation in the county leagues in hurling and football this year. Disappointed as such, as some clubs thought there might have been in relegation difficulty, but that is not the case. They weren't part of the regulation for this year, that maybe that can be amended going forward. But I suppose particularly in leagues where there's the risk of promotion the reward of promotion and maybe winning a title, the risk of maybe being relegated is also there. It always adds an extra bit of an edge to league fixtures, I always find. And at this time of a Friday evening, as always, it's time to talk dogs.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
And it's good to have Barry Drake along. Barry, you're welcome to the show.
Yeah, great to be on again, Shane. Looking forward to a big weekend.
And I suppose we'll start maybe with start with Sunday night. We usually start Friday into Sunday, but Sunday is a big night in Clonmel with the Produce Stakes getting underway.
Yeah, that's right. Look, it's always a fantastic competition in Clonmel, you know. People always look to the calendar for this big event, kindly sponsored once again by Larry O'Rourke. And, you know, it's got a €17,000 prize check waiting for the winner. So, look, yeah, all gets underway on Sunday night. And just in terms of Clonmel, I know a lot of people have been volunteering over the last couple of weeks going into the track, you know, to have us looking $1 million, Trojan work going on there at the Clonmel Greyhound Stadium. So just look, keen to highlight that. So well done, you know, people coming out once again, you know, digging deep and stuff like that. And, you know, I know they have a wonderful menu on the restaurant. There'll be top-class food available in Clonmel on Sunday night. Plenty of new bookmakers, you know, back at the track. So, you know, it's going to be a night full of entertainment with top-class racing. And I very much can't wait to get back down to Clonmel on Sunday night. I was in attendance last Saturday night, and there was a great atmosphere around, and they're all really excited about this coming Sunday.
Who are the notable favourites maybe at this? I know this is an early stage, but who are the ones that are taking your fancy?
Yeah, there is a couple that stand out. I suppose our listeners will be more than familiar now with Swords Rex, who went on to win the final of the €80,000 Conanani Kirby Memorial competition a couple of weeks ago in Limerick. He's trained in Golden by Graham Holland. I see he's been installed as the 4-1 favourite for Outright Glory with Boyle Sports earlier today. And then you'll have the likes of Droopy's nice one, this one trained by Mert Leahy down in County Kilkenny. I think that could be the one to keep an eye on at a slightly bigger price, at around 10-1. I think she's a very talented ground. Funny enough, she was actually beaten by the shortest of margins behind Swords Rex in a final in Clonmel earlier this year. That was in the Unrace Stake, which was kindly sponsored by Helen O'Dwyer. So it's got good Clonmel form. And the likes of Patrick Guilfoyle as well will have the likes of Weekend Dream and Magical Cuba. So the Tipperary trainer, you know, has a real strong hand in the competition. But look, it's all to play for, Shane. I just, as I said, I can't wait for it to get underway at 7:30 on Sunday night.
But before then, there's racing in Clonmel tonight. So what's on the card there?
Yeah, that's right. A real good competition as well starting in Clonmel tonight. It gets underway at 7:30, in fact. And it's the Kieran Purcell Senior Memorial Guys and Dolls Stake. This is an A3 competition with €2,100 to the winner. So this is going to be a real hot competition over the course of the next couple of weeks, too, to keep an eye on in that competition. Looking ahead to the opening race tonight, I thought Give It Holly, a well-named greyhound, was a most impressive winner over the 300-yard trip last time when posting 16-17. That was a high-class performance. Stepping back up in trip, I can see this continuing its winning form. It's owned and trained by Dan Cansey there in Kappa White. And another one to keep an eye on tonight in Clonmel, race number 8, trap number 1, Ballyhimmican Joy, who's owned down here in my neck of the woods in Ladiesbridge by Billy and John Dunn here in East Cork. Billy, of course, a very talented hurler. He's done extremely well in recent years with the divisional side, Imakili. And I think Ballyhimmican Joy could be one for the Dunn family there in race number 8 tonight.
And moving on to Thurles tomorrow evening, what's taking your fancy there?
Yeah, an 8-race card, Shane, down for Decision 1 that I'm most looking forward to. Runs in the second race. This is Dream Step. It caught my eye on debut. Found a bit of trouble in running on that occasion. Still managed to finish third. And I think this well-bred daughter of Droopy Sydney can climb the grades in the coming weeks. I think she'll be far too good for the A7 grade. She's owned by Caroline Flanagan and Damien Halley in Cashel. So I think that one will get the job done there. So it's an 8-race card in Thurles tomorrow night, and it all gets underway there at 7:35. Just briefly, I suppose, before we finish up, back into the Larry O'Rourke National Project Stakes. Just a couple to keep an eye on for Outright Glory on Sunday night. We're going with Droopy's nice one in the very first race. While in the fourth race, we're going for trap number 2, Swords Rex. That one, as I said, outright favourite for Golden Trainer Graham Holland. Race number 8 is a fascinating race. Two to keep an eye on here. A couple to keep an eye on, I should say. The likes of trap number 4, Mustang Sam, who's owned by Sean Burke and Paul Horrig in Clonmel, trained by a trainer that's enjoyed huge success in the sport in previous years, Dolores Root. Tremendous Survivor is an interesting runner in trap number 5 for young trainer Garrod O'Brien, and in 6, Magical Cuba for Patrick Guilfoyle. And finally, in race number 10, I think it'll be all about trap number 1, We Can Dream. I think this one will get the job done for Patrick Guilfoyle. So as I said, Shane, look, it's going to be a wonderful weekend. And all roads lead to Clonmel on Sunday night for sure.
Absolutely, and we look forward to discussing the round one action. Looking forward to round two on next Friday night show. Barry Drake, thanks as always.
Thanks so much, Shane.
And that is about it for this week's show. And to thank all my guests and to my producer, Paul Carroll. Don't forget, tonight at 8:30 here on Tip FM, the May Tipperary GAA Clubs Draw will come live from Hogan's Bar in Ballysloe, where the Tipperary senior football team for Saturday's Munster semi-final will also be announced. And that game will be live here tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. After the news, it's Premier Country with Carol Power. I'll be back next Friday evening at 6 for another edition of Across the Line. Bye for now.